Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we will be talking with George Dixon about Mayan calendar and 2012. And at the beginning, now that we've turned to 2009.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it only got less than 2 years, I think, left.
No, 3 years. 3 years.
Less than 3 years left, 2012, and all things become weird. And
well, they're going to change, that's for sure.
Yeah, actually, the date that we should remember isn't really 2012.
It's not.
It's October 28th, 2011. That's when the Mayan calendar really ends.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Yeah, and
well, why do they say 2012?
Well, it's pretty close to 2012.
But is there any difference in the way?
Yeah, it's because December 21st or 22nd, I believe, or something to that effect. So I forget what it is. December 23rd, 22nd is the last.
The winter. That's the winter solstice.
No, yeah, but of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Is when the whole thing supposedly ends, but the actual date, the actual end time, is stated to be October 28th, 2011.
Really?
Yeah, that's when.
But is there any discrepancy? Do some calendars read some?
Well, yeah, there's a whole bunch of different calendars, but the Mayan calendar, that the October 28th, is the big one.
No, according to their history,
right,
and their projections,
right.
Okay.
That's when it ends. So we'll see what happens. I don't know why George is late calling in tonight, but we will be. I hope you enjoyed last week's show. We did. We had a lecture by Zell Lungold, kind of
catching us up on all and projecting forward some of the things that would happen with the Mayan calendar,
because he's
pretty much an expert.
But more so the, excuse me, it explained that the sixth day, fifth night, sixth night, what will happen to us and what that is going to be is a breakdown of the mind, basically, our mind. And our minds will go crazy unless we consider the intuition as our guide, and just sit back and just watch what's going to happen. Are you with us, George?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, George. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year.
Hey, you too, George.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you and to all of the folks at home that are listening to us.
Yeah. And anyway, where do you want to begin here? I reviewed a good part of the tape of the DVD there on Sarazen.
Yeah.
Why don't you say who it is that we reviewed for the folks?
Michael Sarazen is the. I'm sorry. What were you saying, George?
Well, Michael Carson.
All right. Well, yeah. Is it Tarzan? I keep saying Tarzan, but Tarzan is good.
Carson.
Yeah, Tarzan. And he's an Irish fellow. But what I liked about, were you able to get to the fifth part of that?
No.
What was the, fourth and I misplaced the fifth, which was the one I wanted to see to begin with. Because that kind of explained what was going to happen in 2012. But can you tell me what did he state in that?
Did you watch the Final Solution?
No.
Fifth part.
Well, basically, with Tarzan.
what I'm looking at is, Tarzan is his stuff is so in depth that it does take hours to listen to his.
Let's say briefly for the folks at home that Michael Tarson gives a history of the world. And he believes that it's that our present situation and what's going to happen to us in the future, and what has happened historically, is all based on secret societies and their desire to have one world government, and also that their information has come from a secret source, and that secret source is aliens who have given them advanced knowledge so that it can bring the world to the point that we're at. Basically that there are two strains of DNA, one Atlantean, one Lemurian, and the Atlanteans were stuck here and they want to get out. And so the world had to develop in order for them to get out. And that's where we are right now. Would you agree, George?
in a matter of speaking, but it's part of the Luciferian rebellion. And what Michael has done is that he has gone back and he's researched these different lines of the Illuminati, the Masonic orders, and basically followed their movements.
Right.
Now, the only thing I can say is each of these different groupings and belief systems have a movement, and that movement is completing itself. Regardless of how you stand on the polarity of it, it's going to manifest itself, good or bad. So what's happening is that he's talking about the predictions that have been made about this time, and actually is the total completion of this this physical reality, and wherever you stand in this physical reality, either from a dark side or from a light side, that is the experience that we will perceive.
Okay.
You know, you were talking before, Leo, about mind crazy when I first came on the line.
Mm-hmm.
What were you referring to? The crazy times?
No.
What I'm saying, what I said was, I was referring to what Lungo said, excuse me, George, regarding the this period, is that everything will start to collapse in front of us, and we're going to start losing our minds because we can't adjust to it. We can't comprehend all that's happening in front of us, and we'll start to and many, many people will start losing their minds, and which is not really, it's a bad thing. But what he's saying is that those that will survive this period, those will no longer need their minds. They will be a whole. They'll be complete within their own. Within the zone, within their own,
mm-hmm.
Within their own intuitive consciousness, and I agree with that. I think that it makes sense, but unfortunately, I think there's still. I think we're in for a whole lot of suffering, not only economically, but with wars and with everything else. Because and I think you're looking at Mother Nature is going to play a big part in this in the next few years as well.
Three-quarters of the world is already suffering. There's only one quarter that isn't, really.
We're that's part of the end times. That's part of what we're expecting. And, and from what I see, everything seems to be right on schedule according to the Mayan calendar. We're looking at some very serious, serious times.
The Mayan calendar about the times and the things that we are going to experience.
That's right.
But, going back to this
mind experience, because they've said that as well.
You were talking about the mind is crazy. Now, this is a mind game that's going on right now, a head game. And even with Michael, all these different beliefs and followings and so forth is all a mind game. And what's happening is that mind game is completing itself. Now, that is only one aspect of our being, and the other half of it is the emotional body, the spiritual body, if you'd want to call it that. You have a spiritual body which really controls the mind. The mind does not control the spiritual body. So what we're doing is we're coming back from this mind state into a natural state of body.
George, so you're saying that Michael is understanding this through his rational mind.
Through the rationale that he follows, or they follow, in whatever grouping it is.
Well, it seems like he's taking a historical, he's using his mind and his intelligence to understand the issues that have come with the issues that are and the issues to come. He's
mm-hmm.
not using intuition, he's using history and fact. So he's understanding it through his rational mind.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. And what's wrong with that?
That's only reaching your goal. I mean, it's let's look at the rationale of salvation. And you take a look at the Jewish religion, the Muslim religion, and the Christian religion. They all teach salvation, and that's the end result. But the mind game is how they go toward that, and that is, you know, your different belief systems.
Now, my understanding of the Jewish religion is that they don't believe in an afterlife.
There's
really any mention in the Old Testament about that, is there?
I'm not a scholar when it comes to the Old Testament on that. No, I don't know.
But it's real. I don't think there's really much mention of any kind of afterlife. That's only mentioned, you know, through the New Testament, through the religion of Islam and Christianity.
Well, it's all a breakage or a breaking from the bondage of this physical world, and from here we ascend into a different reality, but mm-hmm. with a different mindset, if you'd want to call it that. And that is the third dimension,
mm-hmm.
because we are restricted to that.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is to break away from the restrictions of physical hindrance or third dimensional hindrance, which we locked into because we individually, we accepted this challenge of experiencing physical reality. So along with the physical reality, you're playing with the rules that confine science or confine nature.
Well, Michael says that those with that Atlantean DNA, whoever they are, the rulers and the royal families,
mm-hmm.
their objective is to get off this planet, right? Which
yes.
was to ascend, and they're going to do it any way they can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all these scientific and technical inventions have been about, to get out of here.
To them, it's not so much an ascension aspect to them; it's an escape.
Yeah,
but
they will be ascending to escape.
Well, no, ascension is should be considered more of a heightened consciousness. It should be a rise relating to the human mind, human race.
Maybe.
But the
all right.
But the,
let's go back.
Let me just explain. The way that he stated is that there are these macrons, these people, this alien race that exists above and beyond the Earth, that has created this radiation belt or this belt,
the Orion belt,
around the Earth to prevent the Atlanteans from ever and their kind from ever escaping, right? Which is why they concentrated instead on becoming part of us as, you know, dominating the Earth as opposed to leaving it, okay, because they were imprisoned here. They've been imprisoned on this planet by higher, you know, by greater,
higher intelligence
than they.
Higher intelligence.
Right.
Let's go back to the legend now, just the legends from the past and dealing with Lemuria and Atlantis.
Okay.
And the legend goes that, you see, the Lemurians is part of Mu, is part of the Pacific island mass. And they have been here for a long, long time. In fact, they go back to Pangaea, when there was a continent called Pangaea before the changes. Anyways, were spiritual beings that took physical bodies. They were spiritual beings who took physical bodies. And it started out basically with the primates. But
wait a minute. Now, totally different than what Caesarion's saying. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's totally different, because he's saying that the Lemurians were the sons of the Atlanteans. Okay, they were genetically manipulated. They were the first sons, actually, of the first offspring
of the
of the human and Atlantean race. And what happened there is that the Lemurians actually became, there was a mass exodus, okay, to another part of the earth of the Lemurians, because they no longer, actually they didn't believe and had total disagreement with what the Atlanteans were doing. And they also found out that they were a much more advanced race, actually, than the Atlanteans, because they were not only were they psychically illuminated, they were also a kinder and more evolved and more connected to the divine, as opposed to the Atlanteans, were very cold and very non aligned to any divine, and that's why they were pursued through the universe and imprisoned on this planet. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he's stating that the planet, there was another planet that they had actually landed on, and that planet was destroyed by their pursuers, and they escaped to Earth. And then what happened was is that these the intelligence that was after them that destroyed the planet created this
Orion Belt.
The Orion Belt. All right, a radiation belt this encapsulated the Earth, and they're stating also that man has never been able, no man or any creature has ever been able to go more than 300. It's impossible for them to go more than 300 miles into space.
Nobody's been on the moon ever.
Nobody has ever been on the moon, because it's impossible to get through to get through that radiation belt. Okay, and nothing that man has ever created, especially the Apollo missions, all right, were capable of surviving that bombardment of radiation and coming out alive. And so this entire
space program,
has been nothing more than a farce,
a fraud,
diverting the attention to spacewalks and all this kind of crap. When in reality, what they're doing was trying to create
blow up the belt.
Right, they've tried to blow up the belt. They've tried to blow up
Orion's belt
with nuclear bombs, which only cause to irradiate the entire area above the atmosphere and actually blow holes in the ozone. It had nothing to do with carbon and sprays. It had to do with them actually blowing several nuclear bombs into orbit to try to blast through that radiation belt, all right? And it didn't happen, and all it did was create a much greater intensity of radiation around the globe, which caused this late 20th century problem of global warming, because it irradiated even more of the atmosphere.
What do you think about that, George?
That's what he's saying. And he based that on scientific evidence of what they did back then in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s even.
What do you think about that, George?
Well, everything you said was right, but you have to understand there's a counterpoint to that too.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
That's just as real. Now, understanding the Lemurians with a legend and Atlanteans, they were basically in opposition to one another, and the Atlanteans were a later breed who I guess you could relate to the Anunnaki or being part of the same bloodline. And basically, it was the Atlanteans in manipulating those bloodlines from, let's say, pure DNA from the originate, part of the originators of the Atlanteans, who were locked into, let's say, this polarized reality, but they were able to use their spiritual instinct for direction instead of their third-dimensional reality in order to think.
But they're saying the Lumerians were the ones that did that, not the Atlanteans. The Atlanteans were the offspring of the Lumerians were the offspring
of the
Atlanteans. And the Atlanteans were the ones, they were the master geneticists. They were the ones that violated the cosmic rules by manipulating DNA on this world, as opposed to the Lumerians were the descendants of the immediate descendants of the Atlanteans and their genetic manipulation. However, what Caesarion says is that he was the that Lumerians were the evolved. They broke away in a complete exodus from the Atlanteans and from the Atlantic continent.
They were created to be the slaves of the Atlanteans.
That's right.
And they evolved to be just as intelligent or more than the Atlanteans.
They actually were of a higher intelligence. And he's citing that based on his research and based on what they did is they were the and then the Atlanteans then created man, Adam, and they also created Eve, all right? And Eve was the, there was a male and the female was created. But then the actual serpent that supposedly seduced the Adam and Eve, all right, was not an evil. It was the Lumerians who realized that they wanted to save that race of people, all right, the second race of people, the Adamites. So they they sent emissaries over to try to help and enlighten the Adam and Eve. So what they did is Eve was more receptive to it than Adam, and that's where you got that Adam and Eve and took the bite of the tree and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, he's saying that's all of course metaphor and euphemism, but he said what happened was that they actually took the Adam and Eve to Lumeria, and from there the female women at that point were treated as the Lumerians found them to be extremely receptive to this, to intuition and to the higher psychic abilities.
And
what happened was is that these great women were never achieved a higher status amongst any civilization than they did amongst the Lumerians, the human
women.
They were then. And then what happened was is once this transformed, and the Atlanteans found out that their new race was being subverted by the Lumerians, they immediately took homage at that, and they castigated, cursed the feminine race. All right, and that's when you in Genesis, that's where you see. You know that they cursed woman to bear in pain, and then they cursed the snake, and all this kind of stuff. But actually, the serpent, the snake, was the Lumerian race. They were considered the Lumerian race, and the fact that it was a serpent only was a metaphor for DNA and for the DNA transference, for the DNA manipulation. And that's how they work. That's why that got involved with the serpent concept. In a way, I mean, these people were actually humanoid. They were just, that everything got messed up with the idea of the icon of the serpent. Okay, and the serpent really represented the advanced genetic manipulation and the DNA spiral, and that's how it's come down to this day. And the secret schools and the secret knowledge is that people understand that the DNA is the serpent, and the serpent represents this creation, you know, and the genetic manipulation of the two of the species.
Well, that's certainly on the physical sense, right, George?
Yes, it is. If I could break in for a minute, I love the way you put that, Leo. I mean, and how you just broke down the history. I think it was great.
Yeah.
But you know what?
What?
If you take the opposite of what you said and change reverse positions, that's how I see it. But at this point, my only question is, does it matter? Because it's all a game that's being played. You know, this one against this one, that one against this one.
Well,
and you see,
it only matters in if we're trying to backtrack and identify our origins. And the thing that, and of course, that this is what Origins and Oracles is the name of his movie. But the thing is that the origins, which was pre-diluvian, before the flood. And all of this stuff was happening. After the flood, it just sent everything into total chaos.
Yeah.
You know, and all of the existing Lumerian as well as Atlantean civilizations were supposedly merged near the equator, because the equator was the only place that was habitable. Now, also, which is interesting, he stated that pre diluvian Earth was actually in a constant spring. There were no seasons. He says it was just perpetual, and it was like a garden. But what happened was is that at this period of the Earth shift, polar shift that happened, it turned the world basically upside down. Okay, almost to like a 180. And they have scientific evidence of that, because they're showing that there's no other way that animals that existed at this time, how the hell a mammoth animal, you know, elephants or Nordic, Arctic, polar animals were suddenly found, their bodies were found in tropic climates, okay? And other things, they were found in places around the world that could never have been, they could never have existed. And the reason for that is because the Earth reversed and shifted, and things were thrown. And they showed these. He brought about these different ancient texts from all these different continents and cultures that described what was happening at that same time. It was just total insanity. I mean, total chaos. Animals were flying, and people were being tossed all over the place, trees, and everything was.
So George, how does that kind of mesh with your understanding?
Well, you know, I want you to imagine that we're in a school ground where we have. All the different kids, the slides and the jungle gyms and so forth. And actually, there's a fence around it. Let's say this fence is about 50 feet in diameter, square.
Okay.
And now take yourself and go outside of that playground and just lean on the fence and look at the playground and watch the kids playing in it or whoever's in that playground. Now imagine everything you're talking about. The different realities that are being played out, they're being played out in that playground only. Outside that playground, there is nothing.
Okay.
It's inside that playground that the action has taken place. Now, we're at a point where, from a spiritual point, in locking into this physical reality, we are part of that playground that's being played out. Now, that changes with the emotions and the consciousness that's being played within that bin. Now, the Atlantarians and the Lemurians are, let's say, two different groups of playmates against one another, like teams and so forth. And actually, one is played off the other, but what they do is they'll reverse roles and they'll continue playing, but it's all being played out in that playground. What we're experiencing right now is that we're experiencing the end of that playtime and everything that went into it. Different beliefs are different motivations. And, you know, let's say with our understanding of Judaism and Christianity, what's happening now is that that is manifesting itself as the final playtime. And what do you do when you're done with that? And that's what we're at. We're at a time where we're completing this playtime time. And it's for us to come outside that playground and enter the world or the void. Now, other spiritual beings have gone to this, and some have kept, let's say, this type of reality, a physical reality. It's like the Volutians on Venus. These are beings that are humanoid beings. They're physical beings. But what they've done is that they're able to raise their vibration where they aren't affected by, let's say, ammonia oxide or something poisonous that would be to, let's say, to us now. So what they've done is that they've just clicked up their energy fields a higher rating where they're not affected by this physical reality. And they still live and maintain, but they are actually spiritual beings, not immortal. They'll change their bodies, but they don't lose consciousness from one body to another body. And that is part of the spiritual, this spiritual experience that we are going through as humanoids. We are physical, yes, but now we're at a point where we're coming back to recontrol the body or the reality that body is made up of, just like we control our body by the foodstuffs that we eat. Taking it a step further, what we're doing is we're just clicking up the energy fields. Now, 2012 was a time where the completion of, let's say, this mode of operandi that we've been in for, let's say, the last 25 years, or the last 15,000 years is shifting, and now we're able to experience the polarity of the other side of this completion that we're going through, and we're going from some to the third to the fourth world, and the fourth world to the fifth world. Tarsus talks about going completing the Mayans talking about completing the fifth world and going to the sixth world.
Yeah.
So. I'm just saying that, you know, with everything, the craziness that's going on now, that's only the craziness of the mind because it's a mental thing. It's not really a physical thing. We are creating that physical thing by the mental thoughts that we put into it. Now.
Well, by saying that we're creating that by the mental thoughts we put into it, okay, so all of these people that Michael is talking about,
yes,
who are, from what he says, descendants of the Atlanteans,
yes,
have created this idea of, and they're very strong in their thought, and it's been going on for thousands of years, so that's why our world is the way it is, because their thought is consistent and has longevity.
Well, no, but also the sneaky part of that now is also DNA by manipulating DNA.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the other part, physical part of our manipulating. They're not only doing it mentally by control, but also physically by genetically manipulating.
And
by that we are held back.
But I believe, but from what I can gather, from what I heard from, with
Tarsus,
work, and what I believe from the other work that I've been working with, the Agni Yoga and the, and and others. What it appears to me is that we have one thing to our advantage, one great thing, and that is the ability of our
hearts.
Of our soul. That we are spiritual, that we are spirit, and that we can rise above this physical entombment, if you will, because we are. I mean, that's basically where we're at. I mean, we've become entombed in this physical reality, and whether we accepted it through a reincarnation or were born in it against our will.
But what are you in tune to, Leo, in this body? What are you tuning into?
I missed what you said. What do you mean? What am I tuning into?
Well, that's what you said. In tune.
Oh, I said I was in tune.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
what are you in tuning? Your mental body or physical body?
Fine. No. We've developed. We're becoming in tune to the divine within us. All right. And that divine is a source of infinite knowledge, wisdom, and cannot be imprisoned. Right.
And that's something
and
the Atlanteans don't have.
And that's right. The Atlanteans do not have that ability. They were imprisoned, and they were imprisoned on this planet, and virtually destroyed. Okay, as a race. Okay, of people.
Because they had that lack.
Because of that reason. Okay, and they were imprisoned in the earth, within the earth. All right, and even in the earth. Okay, according to Sarian, there are races of people that went into the earth, okay, at the time of the polar shift to protect themselves. But what I'm saying is that our enlightened, if we are going to actually go through an ascension process, then we can only do that because we are in tune to a divine creator. We're in tune to a divine consciousness that is pulling us there and reaching.
And that's because of our human DNA, not because anything that the Atlanteans did.
Yeah, that's right. And that satanic rebellion, if you will, Satan's rebellion, was nothing more than that satanic manipulation which isolated us, all right? And that's what Tazarian is saying. I believe that because... But then he goes further and explains what made much, much more sense to me was that the schizophrenia of our creation, of our existence, the good and the evil part of us, was created because of that
DNA
manipulation, right, where prior to that manipulation, we were...
developing nicely on our own.
We were a pure... being, living within an Eden, actually, living in Eden, because he stated that prior to the flood and to the polar shift, there was actually, we were in an eternal spring. Everything was plush always, and there was always plenty, and there was never, the people, it was a beautiful Eden garden, and prior to that, and then after the flood, after the deluge, And then we became prior to that
was the Atlanteans.
When the Atlanteans came down to this planet, okay, and started to screw around with our DNA, and at that point, and then before they were able to, and they had developed a highly technological society there, but their offspring were the Lumerians, which were part human, part Atlantean. The Lumerians became a highly evolved race, a much faster, much smarter, more intelligent race than the Atlanteans.
But they had compassion.
They had compassion and soul, all right, and spirit, whereas the Atlanteans didn't, and that became the faction. The first exodus occurred where the Lumerians took off and started their own colonies, their own country, their own continent, which was Oceania, I believe. And from there... developed a whole new society, but they were constantly watching the works of the Atlanteans,
who developed
a second species of humans,
slaves.
Right? And then they were lured. The Lumerians, infiltrated or lured the that new race over to them and created that a higher awareness and consciousness within them, and the Atlanteans punished them severely for it. Not the Lemurians, but their offspring, and they, you know, kept a.
Because they wanted, there weren't enough Atlanteans to do all the dirty work.
Yeah, they didn't want to do it anymore. They didn't want to do the work. It was similar to the Anunnaki, very
legend.
Yeah, the Anunnaki legend, and they needed creatures to, they needed people to, slaves to do the work, and to keep them, you know, and yeah.
Happy.
And, yeah, to, right.
Because they were.
Not to get off the subject, but I'm just stating that what happened was that the, according to Sarian, the
Carson.
Carson. He states that that what happened was the Lemurians and the Atlanteans after the flood.
Right.
All right. Kind of intermingled, basically. There weren't too many left. All right. And these societies mingled, and over time they intermingled, and they became or assimilated, and that became the duality of our personalities as human beings, which were, you know, the good versus the bad, and created this incredible bipolar existence that we live in.
And he's saying that,
and that we're ascending, the ascension aspect, the ascension process, is that we are being taken away, we're being torn away from that part of ourselves into enlightened beings, which is what we hope to become. And,
well, right. That's the end result, just like salvation.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what we hope to be.
And of course,
leaving that other part.
That will leave the ancient bloodlines.
Yeah.
They'll be abandoned because they'll not have any slaves to run the world, which is what we do.
Right.
you're right on that point, but you see, it's coming to a. This is not going to take thousands of years to change, and it's changing right now.
Right.
Well, and a couple more years before it's over, you know. That's
well, it. We're in the time now. We don't have to wait a couple years for it because it's what's happening. Is one example of the Atlantean, and that's the medical industry. I mean, these people have been manipulating our DNA and everything else for years and years.
Right.
And what's been happening now is that our DNA is changing, and it's not going the way they would like it to go. When I say they, I'm talking about people in power and control. These new children that are being born, we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
They have more codexes in their DNA being activated that they have no control over. But in the last 15 years, the pharmaceutical company has been pulling their hair out to try to control the mental aspects of these kids, or the mental powers, or the mental energies they have. So that's where Ritalin came in. Along with Prozac and a whole bunch of other of these goodies, really to keep the mind down. They no longer do lobotomies. So they could do it with chemicals. And that's what they've been trying to hold down, and they can't do it. These kids are coming through now who are they're so intelligent, and not only from a mental point of view, but this crazy mind stuff, but with their emotional bodies. They have an understanding of energies and of consciousness that's not something that's programmed into them. It's natural for them. And you can't hold it down. And this is what's happening, where all controls of this game that's being played in a playground for years and years is coming to an end. And they don't have the Atlanteans, if you'd want to call it, or the Lemurians, or whoever is in manipulating charge of this, can't hold this renaissance down. And this renaissance is not only from a physical aspect, it's from a mental aspect.
Well, I believe that, George. And I'm beginning to understand something a little more, too. As I kind of merge these philosophies together, the Agni Yoga concepts with the Mayan, with the, and others, but I I'm finding that with the Agni Yoga, they talk about the higher dimensions of the brotherhood and so on, but the ascended consciousness. And you have people, you have this hierarchy that's sending you good, that's sending you messages constantly, mm-hmm. sending you wisdom, sending you
information
mm-hmm. on how to release yourself, how to strive, how to be enlightened. But what they state is that it's very difficult because these things for us it's very difficult for many to grasp this because these messages because of so much interference. You know, there's so much interference in the world
deliberate interference.
Yeah, that these things that these messages fall by the wayside. But he says.
Well,
to some and to many, he says there are more there, and this was back when it was written back in 1927 or 28, but it's still very, very real today and very, very
even more real.
Very, relevant to the message right now is
yeah.
that it the messages are coming in and I'm picking them up. I feel it, and I explain it on those shows how I interpret what they're saying, but also how I interpret what happens around me during the course of the day, what positive aspects that I look forward to seeing or feeling or experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
are all those messages. These are all those transmissions that are coming from a much higher source. And yes, they're being drowned out by chemtrails and by television signals and by
microwaves
and by cell phones and by god awful
and by
whatever.
Drugs
and by drugs and liquor and you know anything that can destroy your sensory perceptors, you know,
your connections.
Yeah, so I'm finding that I'm picking up much more. And I'm learning much more, and I'm feeling much more than I ever did, and in that way, I'm hoping that I am in reality connecting with that other dimension and gaining strength, gaining focus and insight into enlightenment, you know, into that illumination. And into that ascension consciousness that I'm striving for, that we're all striving for. So I don't. That's what I'm seeing. And that's where I'm focused on. But you know, there are others that aren't. A lot of people feel perfectly satisfied being where they are, accepting their fate, whatever it is. Believe there is no afterlife, and this is all we have. So make the best of it. But you know that's. Their prerogative as well, you know.
Yeah.
I prefer to believe in greater, bigger things, you know. I don't know. Well, yeah, I'm sure you do as well, George, you know.
Well, I've been changing so fast recently. I mean, these months are like years. They go by so damn quick. The days they travel like hours.
Yeah, it's just
and,
like yeah. Yeah,
things are changing so damn quick that it's hard for me to sit down and take a bearing through programmed understanding of the way things are going.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like following the way things naturally move, and that's a programmed response. It's the craziness right now of things that are happening. And you say good or bad, you can't just look at the good things on a daily basis. You have to take a look at the bad things because basically, it's the same same understanding or precept that's being played out both mentally or both logically or right or wrong. There's a duality that's being played out, and none of it is right and none of it is wrong. Other than it's just one big thing that's in motion right now, and the motion is coming to some kind of a head. And
George, that there can be right or wrong?
Oh, there is.
Yeah, okay.
And isn't the focus of the media or the focus of whatever, it's the idea is to focus you on fear, focus you on depression, focus you on helplessness, focus, your focus. If you listen to television or newspapers or even people around you who are gloom and doom, you there's no way out. You know, I see,
there is a way out, Leo.
Somebody questioned
us. There is a way out.
Will the economy get any better? I said no. It won't get any better. The economy is going to get worse because it's designed to do that. All right. It's going to do that. This is part of it.
But we could do something to change that.
But we can, and we will. But we will be able to change it, but not until it collapses and people realize that there has to be some other way, and those other ways are designed. But we are ascending. As ascending beings, we will come up with a solution and a greater solution. And that solution, hopefully, will be one that has nothing to do with currency or whatsoever.
Yeah, but Leo, that ascension is me, not we. I mean, you can find we will take care of this, or this will get better. But you see, you're just connecting yourself to the disaster that's being played out. The trick is to disassociate yourself with it.
And it's going to happen, George. But the only way that you can break away from that is by coming up with a solution, staying positive, thinking positive, and finding a solution to these problems, okay? And
the solution is to
disregard what's happening, because you can't make a change with the present system. You have to design a new system, all right? And it has to come from within you, and from within an enlightened being or an enlightened society, an enlightened civilization
If more people got in touch with the God part of them that's within them, then we would all have those creative solutions that can come from the divine and the idea and the mass.
Right.
But until people recognize that there is no savior, I mean, every religion says there's a savior. There isn't one. The savior is within you. That's what Jesus taught us.
Right.
And that's the message that's been drowned out by the Catholic Church and all modern religions.
So what happened was that they took Christ's word and they took it and made it themselves. Instead of saying Christ, they made the church Christ and they gave themselves the power. All Christ was doing is telling you that you are the power.
Your own savior.
If you're like me, be like me, and you'll find the power within you. You can, and the power was that you become the Christ, you become Christ-like, you become the Christ, which is the highest and best possible human being, okay?
Which means you raise yourself above it, and you put it to sleep, or you walk away from it instead of continuing to partake.
To do, yeah, then why not?
You are your own savior.
Right.
That's right.
That's what churches have taken, that's what religion has taken away from the people.
Yeah, you have to go through a homosexual priest or something to get salvation.
Or a corrupt pastor or something.
Or some rabbi has to snip your has to give you a circumcision in order for you to pass through the pearly gates.
I doubt it. It's crap, man.
And it's like, and everybody knows it's a crock of crap, but yet they're so brainwashed from birth, okay, believing that the church is the way, instead of that they are the way. All right, you really got a lot of work to do to change people around.
And that first, which is the church, that first formula of by creating fear and doubt about what's inside you has been used. That concept is used in every aspect of human life to manipulate human beings.
Right, and to say that you are, that you will find grace and glory and everything
by donating $5,000.
Yeah, making a donation and going to, then you'll go to heaven. You know, don't It's like total mind control. It's a total mind control technique that gave power to these religions that created these genocides. You know, that created horrendous crimes against humanity. Okay, in pursuit of empire and colonialization, and they were, you know, oh my God. So it's like for us to come back to who we are, where we are now, and accept the present and disregard, all right, any of these power structures, you know, that we are the power. They're not the power. We are the power, all right? We give them the power by deferring our thoughts and deferring our thinking.
And it's through fear that they control.
No, it's through laziness, though.
And through fear.
And through laziness and fear. That we give them the power to think for us, you know, and that's the wrong thing to do.
What do you think about that, George?
Well, they have the choice.
Well, you don't have a choice when you're brainwashed, but that's what's happened to a lot of people. They've been brainwashed since birth, starting at baptism.
Well, they are, but if they can get through all of the malarkey, you know, there is a real point to be made. And if nothing else, it's touching base with the spiritual being within you, that is God. And Jesus is just one example of that. It's the spiritual connection with the heart, with the physical body.
He showed us that. He showed us how to live.
The way to live. That was the path that he taught.
He showed us the path. He never said he was God. He showed that that came for people after him to say that.
He denied it. Yeah, in fact, he denied it whenever he was approached and people said, "Are you God?" He would say, no, absolutely not. I'm a man. And you can be as I am. All right? You have the same power as I have. All right? All you need is faith and a belief in your own power. But we've been crushed since the beginning of time. I mean, since day one, that we have no power, you know. And then when we're going to school, you don't have any power. You know, your parents, you don't have any power. You don't have any power. You don't. And that's what we're led to believe. Instead of saying you have power, you have the ability to be something more. You have the ability to think for yourself, you know. But and then just guide one on the right path. But that's utopia too, and maybe, you know, and I'm hoping that in the next couple of years maybe we'll all get there. But, you know, it's encouraging and it's exciting to look forward to that.
Why can't you be there now?
I'm not there yet. I can't break through yet, completely. I can't. For some reason I just can't get to that point where I have enough faith in myself to immediately manifest what I need. It takes time and it takes planning.
Leo, it doesn't take time.
George, I can't do things in seconds. I can't manifest those things. I'm hoping.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can, Leo. The reality of life right now is you have to understand you are creating your reality. You are even creating this phone call to me with Lila sitting back as refereeing.
I still need that phone call. And instead, I can't communicate with you without the telephone, without the computer, or without, you know, or even without Lila. Okay? So it's like, you know, because Lila communicates for us. We're not fully co-creating it, George. I can't immediately manifest. So I'm working on it, though. I'm trying very hard.
No. you gotta have faith in your ability, your power as a spiritual being. A spiritual being having a human experience, not the other way around, friend.
I'm getting stronger in that belief, but, you know, nevertheless, it's just... Oh, by the way, there's 30 seconds left to the program. If you want to call in, please do, and you can continue with this program. Otherwise, I'm sorry, but you will be...
You'll be shut out.
There won't be a stream.
Shut up.
If you want to call in, Please do. If not, we'll see you next week. So, yeah, so anyway, George, I'm trying very hard, but I can't.
Well, Leo, you don't have to try. Just believe.
How do I do it unless I try?
What?
How can I do it unless I try to do it?
Well, you're doing it just like your heart is beating. You're not telling your heart to beat, beat, beat. It's doing automatically.
Well, it's like my brain is telling my heart to beat, beat, beat. But one day my brain will stop telling my heart to beat, 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 and then I'll be done.
Your body can live without the brain, my friend. It's the heart that's the main puppy here. It's the heart is where we connect with the outside world.
What?
It's the heart that it gets its beat or its electrical charge, and that comes from the sun. That comes from the magnetic energy that gives us light.
So, George, how do we prevent? Why do people get heart attacks and stuff? All right, if the heart is an eternal pumping organ, why does it stop?
Why does it stop?
Because it's imprisoned
in the body. It needs a direction to rebuild itself. It's like a machine. A kidney will run so long, and you're going to have to start replacing the parts. Now, if you have no kind of computer there telling you that, you know, it's time to start getting that part ready, we got to install it, then, you know, the kidney won't get the part, and the kidney will die. It will fail. So it's like the brain is only the control center to give directions. Without the directions, the organs will die.
That's true.
They'll get the nourishment. It's just like brain dead people who are on life support. You know, what they're doing is they're giving nutrients to the body, if it wasn't the right nutrients, these patients would die. And it's the brain. Brain normally is the control center that sends the impulses to do this and do that. But that's only directed by the heart, by the energies that the heart gives the brain.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
I'm saying that we as spiritual beings are locked into a reality, a physical reality, and we are bound by the science that we live in, that our bodies are made up of.
Right.
But it's the consciousness that gives direction to the body, and the body reacts to that consciousness, and it's the body who perceives the outside world, who sees it, who hears it, who touches it. The brain doesn't. It's the body, after experiencing, sends the message to the brain. And what the brain does with it is a different story. Not only will react because of the survival programming the body has to survive, but the brain basically gets the directions from the emotional body or the heart. And for the impulses of the physical body, it would send this information to the brain, and the brain would react to it, but the body would react itself without the brain. And just like a comatose person, the body will continue to go as long as it can.
There are too many
and it has energy.
To make the heart fail and to make the body fail.
What's that?
I mean, the mind can only direct for so long, I said, but the body, there are too many impediments, there are too many problems that arise with the illnesses and genetic defects and other things that impede the life of a body, you know, and the quality of life of a body as well. So, I mean, when a person gets Alzheimer's or develops senility, I mean, they're losing
their mind.
Blood vessels. They're losing function of part of their minds, and you know, and no matter how
but
much
their heart might be still alive, but
no matter
they're
how
still walking, they're still talking, they're still hearing and seeing.
Well, yeah, but
they can't process.
They
can't process
yeah,
with
yeah,
any of
that's
that.
Right.
know, so if you can't process it, what the hell is it? You know, you're a vegetable.
But maybe for this world, maybe when all of that is let go and dies, the rest goes on.
Well, you're hoping that you know, once you can get beyond a physical dimension, then you're fine.
You don't need that anymore.
You don't need those programs.
Or you could shift gears and raise yourself to a higher dimension, a dimension of reality.
You hope so. And maybe that's what people do. If they can communicate physically, then they have to find ways of communicating spiritually or psychically, you know.
But, Leo, we do that, but it's because of the programming that shuts it down right away automatically. We burn ourselves, and that's what we have to get over. And that's part of this Mayan period now we're experiencing, that we're getting over that. We don't have to follow that path, or we don't have to walk over coals to be purified, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
There
right.
are,
right.
And it's all a state of mind, in a sense, and I think in this New Age world, we can understand that. Yeah, you know, it's our state of mind. We're doing that to ourselves, but understand that the reality is that we are holding the reality that we live and see ourselves. We are only a reflection. We are only seeing the reflection of what we think is possible or is part of this reality that we submitted ourselves to. So we're only going to see that reality.
Yeah.
And from a logical point of view, we have two sides to every coin, and we're only looking at one side and forgetting that the other side is there because of a programmed direction. But understand that coin represents both sides, good and bad, and they both are manifest, but it's where our focus is that the manifestation is going to continue.
I agree with you, and I think where we're headed, and this is my thought, is we're on path discovery, and I'm just always.
I'm sorry.
I'm continually discovering new things here, and new ideas, new concepts. But I feel that somehow I'm getting so much closer to understanding my divine connection, our divine connection, the human divine connection. I shouldn't say my own, but the human divine connection, because I believe it's there for everybody. It's just that when you speak to people, it's even now, like listeners on this show, some will tune in and be engaged, and others will tune in and tune out as quickly as they hear something, or, you know, can't speak about this to many people, to everybody, because they don't have the ears to listen. They don't have the...
Well, they're not in the same spot on their journey, that's all.
They're not on the journey, or on the journey at all.
Or they're not where we are on the journey. They might be ahead of us, or they could be behind us.
Exactly.
I don't know.
They could be somewhere, but what I'm
Leo, you said it a minute ago.
All on this journey, and, you know, and that's...
What did you say, George?
Leo, you said it a few minutes ago.
Right.
It's either looking at the, thinking about the future, or feeling the future, or feeling things.
Right.
Now, in our best approach right now is instead of thinking of something, feeling something, or whatever you experience, instead of thinking about it, feel it.
Right.
And it breaks that restriction to only thinking from a linear point of view, the reality that's real. But there's an emotional aspect that's suppressed if you're experiencing something, you're feeling it or you're thinking it. It's better to experience it or feel it. Just like, you know, you go through your day and only look for the best and see the best. But you can't do that because what you have to do is see the bad aspect of that day, what it has to offer, and not work on it or being drawn toward it, but experience it for what it is, because it's just another aspect of reality that you have drawn to your attention. It didn't bring its attention to you. You brought it to them.
You can turn almost any negative around and you know, to a positive of some sort, or ignore the negative You know, if you can.
Well, you have
it.
Something to learn from, and that's, you know,
yeah.
that's what we have. We have to make every experience.
But I believe that
the most positive learning experience that we can.
But I believe.
No. You don't have to make it positive. You can make it negative too.
I think you can make it a learning.
But what the conscious.
That's right, Lila. And that's the name of the game. You are given both views or both personal responses of something, but how you act on it is another thing. And that's the activation is from an emotional aspect, not a physical aspect.
That's
see, the mind can't live in the present. It can only live in the past or the future. And it's through the body that the emotional body, that it experiences the moment because the mind can't.
Now that's
the mind
concept, and I agree with you, George, but I can't really understand it. You know,
I know
what I mean?
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying, but somehow I have trouble with it.
That's because you live in both worlds. You live
right.
in the past and future.
You know,
then,
constantly.
Then imagine, Lila, imagine that you have the ability to experience that, or use your imagination and complete it, and it will complete itself.
I guess I have to just kind of go with it. I find, like, I'm talking to you now, but of course you said something, and it's already in the past when I'm answering.
And you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about it.
You're thinking of it. So, we're thinking of what you said, and I look forward to our response. So,
I'm never
in the moment. Yeah.
We should talk about this more next week. I'd really like to pick up right where we left off, if we can all remember.
How to remain in the present.
How to remain in the present, and let's talk more about that, because that's a very interesting thing and difficult
to do.
Okay,
but I think it's critical. To learn how to remain in the present.
To help everyone navigate these tough times that are coming up that might be, or how to navigate through the changes that are going to be happening are happening.
That's true.
Well, I can't tell people how to think. All I can do is show you options. What you pick up and use is, you know, your own dilemma. We have many options.
But being in the present and learning how to be in the present is a skill that everyone can learn.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Which is what
they do with it is totally up to them.
Which is being in the zone. That's
right.
Being in the zone.
Okay, all right. That sounds right. Yeah.
That's what we want to be.
That's where
we will survive.
And I think that's a good skill to be able to share with people and help them accomplish.
Yeah.
And what they do with it is totally up to them.
But we're putting it out there.
Let's put it out there, and let's talk about that next week. What do you think?
That sounds good, folks.
Okay, and unpack another box, George.
Yeah, I have to apologize because, you know, I don't have my study set up, and I've been going to room and room here, and my pugs in the background have been barking a bit. They're getting used to my new place. But I'll be more organized next week, folks.
All right.
Oh, that's fine. You were great, Georgia. We look forward to talking to you again soon. And Happy New Year to you and your family.
Yeah.
You also. And God bless you, folks.
Okay.
You too, George.
Good night, George.
Have a good one.
You Bye. Also. Good night.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We hope you enjoyed the conversation. And, you know, I hope you have a Happy New Year.
Oh, absolutely.
And, looking forward to being with you next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So please join us then. And in the meantime, have a Happy New Year and good night.